Now, more than 7,600 children referred by GPs to the HSE's Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service last year were turned away because they did not meet strict criteria for eligibility. In the first 4 months of this year, 3,000 children and adolescents were deemed not suitable for the service, figures show. The data has revealed amid ongoing concerns about the ability of the service to cope with the level of demand from children and teenagers in various levels of mental distress. The figures released by the HSE to Sinn Féin TD Mark Ward show how children are caught in a trap as GPs strive to secure specialist care amid long waiting lists for mental health and disability services. Some of the longest waiting lists, if not the longest waiting list in the country, at running about 876, is the one in the Cork Kerry area. Of course, this all coming on top of the situation with regards to moves and attempts to address the scandal in South Kerry CAMHS, and amidst the context as well of various legal actions that are being considered and a redress scheme that is being offered that has hit a number of different hurdles with regards to. So how is that situation going and where do things stand? One of those who's representing many families caught up in this is Killarney solicitor Padraig O'Connell, who's with me here in studio. Padraig, good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry.
You've been carrying out a review of your case files and the families you have on your books in regards to this. What have you been finding, or what is the current situation at play?
Well, first of all, Jerry, I'd like to say that the reference to the compensation scheme as has been made by the Minister is an absolute total sham. It's a shambles, and at this point in time, at the outset, I believe that Kerry Radio should invite the Minister to come on to debate this issue, either with myself or one of the other lawyers who are looking after the interests of the people who are affected and adversely affected. The scheme they speak of is effectively dressed up as mediation. However, the word mediation, I believe, is promoted by the state on the basis that it gives the impression that it's a mediation process. It is totally and fundamentally different to a mediation. The parties will have to present their cases in full, and a binding recommendation issues. Genuinely and absolutely, from a legal point of view or a practical point of view, that is not mediation. Further, the panel of mediators is to be chosen by the HSE. There's no transparency in that. Clearly, that's a difficulty that will present itself also. Further, they talk about general damages, but they don't specify whether any expenses you go to, which would in the normal course be identified as special damages, will be met also. So you could end up with expenditure that comes out of the general damages and would not be added on to the general damages. They also talk in terms of a lodgement, which is a feature of civil litigation, and that's used as a tool against the individual who's bringing a claim. But at this point in time, Jerry, the compensation scheme will not be promoted by me in any event, and the vast majority of the cases that we've issued proceedings are going to the High Court, and those cases are effectively where somebody has reached their 18th birthday, and clearly the state would, as they always would, rely on the statute of limitations if the proceedings weren't issued. It will take some time before those proceedings come to fruition, but I'd be far more satisfied that the matter would be coming before a High Court judge than before any mediator promoted by the HSE, of whom we would have no influence as to who it was or what their remit might be.
So you feel that the families, and they have been looking as late as last month for further clarification on the compensation scheme. This arises out of last April when Minister Mary Butler announced the children affected by the Maskew report and their families would be compensated for the appropriate prescribing practices of a junior doctor. However, that clarification, those concerns haven't been addressed, haven't been met to your client's satisfaction, which then leads them on to starting the legal process in their own way in the High Court.
Indeed, and that's the only ultimatum that can be put before the state is you either deal with it in the High Court or you put a proper compensation scheme forward where there's involvement in putting the scheme together by the parties and their representatives.
Okay.
Otherwise, what it's a one-way track.
Yeah, what about the assurance that was given by the Minister previously that families in the scheme would be in, you know, they'd be in line with what the High Court could award. Minimum personage award, High Court 60,000. That they're saying, look, you won't lose out in terms of monetary assessment by going with the scheme rather than
yes, Jerry, but I go back to the item I just mentioned of general and special damages. Special damages are out-of-pocket expenses which can be considerable, especially in this instance where you could have psychiatric care and the like, counselling and the like, which all accrues vast expense. They're not indicating that that will be paid in addition to the general damages, which are for pain and suffering in the past and in the future. And that's an issue that hasn't been addressed. See, the state come on and they hide and couch it all in language. But ultimately, when it comes to fruition in terms of what's actually put there in print, it's a different matter entirely. And on going through the paperwork, it's quite clear the state have effectively, by proceeding with the proposed scheme that they're proposing, they've outlined a situation where people cannot get involved. Simply, people are being pushed into litigation, which is what they shouldn't be done. There should be no confrontational aspect to this. There should be no adversarial aspect to this. This should be something where the state have already held their hands up and they should now just come forward, take the necessary steps to compensate people who continue to suffer. And in addition to that, there's also a difficulty, Jerry, where there's no reference to compensation for any family members who may have been adversely affected. And may I also say, Jerry, that in relation to North Kerry, the scheme has not been expanded to North Kerry yet, despite all the pious platitudes of certain politicians.
Still waiting for that to happen, to see if it went wider than just the South Kerry area.
Indeed. And of course, they all rely on the fade factor, but this will not fade away because, as far as I'm concerned, people have been very adversely affected. They continue to be materially affected, and they're expected to put their hand in their own pocket for something that they are not responsible for.
Okay. In terms of the redress scheme, for the parent, for the families affected, for the individual services affected, you mentioned there about family members. Should that be covered in a redress scheme, that it's extended that far and wide to an extent? Rather than just the money going to the family or the child, and they may no longer be children in some cases, but that would not cover it all, surely.
Well, the bottom line here is that it should be addressed, at least in terms of explored, whether there should be compensation of a fixed sum or otherwise for family members who are not included in the scheme. In other words, there are family members who have been materially and adversely affected, either out of pocket or otherwise, due to what has occurred and how individuals have been dealt with, and I believe they're entitled to be compensated, or at least it has to be addressed.
Okay.
It has to be looked into.
Do you accept, though, that the state has a duty to the taxpayer to control costs regarding
100%
cases?
I agree with that, but the way the state are dealing with this, they're going to end up with a far greater bill than if they were more transparent, more open, brought us all into the equation at the very outset, discussed it with the people who are involved, discussed with the people who know what they're talking about, and just dealt with it then on the basis of coming to an agreement. This is pushing it and pushing it further down the agenda.
Okay, can this be rectified? Can it be clarified?
I go back to what I said at the beginning, Jerry. Bring the minister on and we'll discuss it with the minister.
Okay, all right. Patrick O'Connell, that's where we'll leave it. Just final question. You mentioned, you know, initiating proceedings. Is there a timeline before some of these cases would come before the High Court?
No, there isn't a timeline, Jerry. The proceedings that have been issued, as I said, have been issued in the instances where the statute of limitations would undoubtedly have been pleaded by the state should we have not had the proceedings issued. Obviously, reports are required on an ongoing basis to flesh out and substantiate the proceedings that go forward to the court. At that point in time, the state will have their say. They will have their say in the terms of examining and going through files, records and up-to-date medical reports with a view to assessing what they believe the value of a case may be. Ultimately, I believe it's a High Court judge can only decide unless the scheme is radically altered from what's proposed.
Okay. All right. Patrick O'Connell, solicitor in Killarney, thanks very much for talking to us about that on the programme this morning. If you have a view on what he had to say about the families, how they feel about the redress scheme, the need for clarification and for change regards to it, we want to hear from you on the programme on 066 712 3666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. That's how you can touch. That's coming in the context of the wider question, as we are learning the ongoing provision of supports and services to children and adolescents with mental health difficulties in Kerry, that Kerry and Cork has the highest number of children waiting for access to mental health care. Over 800 children on the waiting list in this region. Nationally, over 500 children have been waiting over a year to access vital mental health care.